welcome to Tigers by the Fire, a podcast out of Holy Cross High School about World War II discussions and stories. My name is Michael Arvitis, and I'm here with Matthew Gorbity.
Hi.
And today we're going to talk about a unique experience that Matthew went on. He and I this summer were in the Albert H. Small Normandy Institute, where Matthew researched a soldier who died during D-Day, a man named John C. Berlin, and he was able to visit Washington, D.C., as well as Normandy, France. So I'm going to let Matthew kind of talk about his experience as a whole, and then we're going to go back and forth about what he learned and what the experience meant to him. So, Matt, can you tell me a little bit about what you did throughout the process? Because it's like a six-month program.
Yeah. So the first thing that we did was I had to write an essay talking about like my application, why I wanted to do it, what it meant to me, and why I was interested in World War II. And so I pretty much wrote how World War II was always an interest to me throughout my life, and how World War II in particular, like with the Higgins boats, was like deeply rooted into Louisiana, and how it was a big aspect, or how Louisiana played a big role in the war itself. So after my application was accepted, we started getting on Zoom meetings once every week or 2 weeks or so. And we talked about how different aspects of the war played out. And it was led by Dr. Tom Long, and other members in the Institute had teachers such as Coach Arvitis or Dr. Brunson or Dr. Arneson. And then after we did Zoom meetings for, I think it was like 4 months, 5 months, we finally got to go out to DC, where we did some more research on World War II as a whole. And the soldier that I selected, John C. Berlin, who was a technician in the 501st Parachute Infantry Regiment in the 101st Airborne. So while in DC, we researched the war and the soldier simultaneously, while also doing multiple classes and going to the archives where we were able to study. And then after our time in DC, we went to France to get an up close look at where we actually like did Operation Overlord.
So Matthew, just what was it like as a high school student to go to lectures, some on Zoom, and then, of course, in D.C., we heard from a number of professors from George Washington University. What did you get out of those experiences? And obviously not like an exact detail, but just what was that like for you? And how was that different than a normal experience that you had in high school?
So it was kind of surreal to me because all these people are like super high up. They know exactly what they're talking about to the T. They have years of experience in their subjects. And it was really eye-opening knowing like how much detail there is to be learned and how much in-depth people know. Because like in a normal class, yeah, you'll understand what D-Day was, how World War II happened, like we're doing right now in the World War II class with you. But going on this trip, you learned in-depth about different aspects of the war. Like, for example, one of the presentations we heard of was how media played a role. And yeah, I mean, in a class, you'll understand that media was a factor in the war, but nothing compared to what you learned about in these talks.
Yeah, I think that's one of the unique things for you guys as high school students is to get that in-depth discussion that you get in college classes. Now, being able to go to France and see things like Omaha Beach or Pointe du Hoc, what was that like for you to see? Because you had known about what these things were. So what was it like for you to see them firsthand?
It was kind of like, I don't want to keep on saying it, but it was kind of like an out-of-body or surreal experience, because it's like these are places that I've read about, that I've been told about, that I go to the museum and learn about and see pictures that come out of there. But actually being there, it was something that you can never experience, like just from pictures or movies or documentaries or anything.
Did it give you a better appreciation for what, I guess, the soldiers went through during the D-Day operations, having seen the actual beach, and you got to run Omaha Beach?
It absolutely did, because like in every class you're going to hear, oh yeah, they stormed the beaches and thousands of them died doing it. But actually being there, I believe it was Erica that gave her lecture or briefing on, like, actually on the beach. And she gave us all, she said, all right, the previous night I went through and pretty much just threw a dart on the board, and whoever the dart landed on died. And she said, like, that's actually similar to how it happened. And, like, whenever she started reading the names of all of us saying if we made it or not, I think it was like 30 or 40 of us on the trip, and only 3 or 4 actually ended up surviving in her make-believe briefing.
It definitely gives you a little perspective. And that exercise, of course, on Omaha Beach, you know, as we learned in the course, and then as you've seen through pop culture and everything else that we have on D-Day, is that in the first wave on Omaha Beach, 90% of the soldiers are casualties. And that's what she was trying to get at, which I think obviously the lesson paid dividends for you. Now, for your experience, you had to do a briefing, and you also had to do research on a soldier, who we'll talk about the soldier second, but you had the first briefing, right? Yeah. Which was at Pegasus Bridge. So for context, we landed and everyone's jet lagged. I don't think Matthew slept very well.
Not at all.
But he had to give this briefing at Pegasus Bridge and explain to us, I guess, what the research was like doing that. And then more specifically, the briefing, which you had, I think you had a good informative and a little bit of fun on the briefing as well.
So the process that we did to, or that I did to research Pegasus Bridge, was Coach Arvides was like, all right. So he pulled up a spreadsheet with the possible briefings that we had. Pretty much the only one that was left was Pegasus Bridge. And that's what Ian did last year. So I kind of like had a general understanding of what it was going into it. But after Coach Arvides said, all right, this is what Ian did. So he gave me like a general guideline on how to research it. But then I took it a step further and went deeper into it, where I read the book called Pegasus Bridge by Stephen Ambrose. It went through it pretty much hour by hour and explained what happened there. And then also finding a bunch of different websites from the museum there explaining what happened, just in brief detail. And then actually being there, giving the briefing, it was pretty rough because we just got off the plane. I had us run across the bridge like Major John Howard would have with his men, but a little less secretly than what he would have.
So the Pegasus Bridge, obviously you did research into that. Mm-hmm. What was it like going to the site, especially because that one's really cool because it's there and we were in the exact spot where they landed. So what was that like for you being able to go to those spots where they land?
So for me, it was more or less like I was not like more or less starstruck, but it kind of took me back because this is like a place that I read about, that I researched, and that I kind of like, not really, but like dreamed about going to because I knew I was going to go there eventually. But it was like walking in almost a fantasy. Like you read about it, you researched it, you've done all these things to familiarize yourself with it, except be there. And all the pictures, all the videos, all the firsthand accounts that come out of there, they really don't impact you as much as actually being on the site. And that's what this program allowed you to do. It was be on the site, know what happened there, and then take it all in and let you assess it yourself and come to your own conclusions with it.
The big purpose of the trip was obviously the research of the soldier.
Yes.
And for you, I think when we chose John Berlin, we didn't quite know where this was going to go. And it went down some interesting rabbit holes and paths, and you ended up having a really neat narrative. So what was that process like? And then we'll talk about the eulogy at the gravesite.
Right. So the process of finding John's story was pretty much a coin flip. I chose John because I know a couple of people named John. Doing our research, we found that he has his own website that somebody made for him, and it gives a brief description of who he was and what he did in the Airborne Division. But then we started finding out that he had a best friend who was named Louis Fry, and we've come to find out that Louis Fry's daughter was one of my theology teachers, Miss Ranner. And so I was able to contact her And she told me countless stories that she just remembers off the top of her head that her dad told her about him and John. And then she said that she also has documents and memoirs from him that she can provide me. That way I can learn more about what they actually did in the war other than what she just knew off the top of her head.
And then, you know, we also got to talk to his brother, who's, 93, mm-hmm. 94 years old.
Yeah.
And so that was a neat little contact as well. So what are the things that you find out as we researched a little bit further?
So as we researched further, come to find out that John wasn't really just a one-man show. He had obviously brothers that were attached to him. His family was military-oriented. They grew up on the Jackson Barracks, which I pass almost nearly every day going to school. And then his dad was in the National Guard, and his older two brothers served in the military in the tank and in the infantry divisions. And then Dan was the youngest, so he couldn't serve like at all. And then Lewis, who survived the war, was able to communicate to the family what happened and give his condolences to them and keep his story alive through the notes that he kept.
And through another interesting turn of events, he also went to the same high school that you go to.
Oh, yeah.
What was it like finding out that he went to Holy Cross, which you currently are a senior at?
It was kind of weird to figure out that he went to the same school as me. And obviously he didn't attend the same like campus because it was destroyed in Katrina. But knowing that he and I have a connection, like a personal connection, because we both went to Holy Cross for some time. Now, obviously, he didn't get to be a senior. He went to a different high school, Nichols High School, which is now Ben Franklin. No? Okay. He went to Nichols High School. But nonetheless, we still have a connection because we went to Holy Cross together. And just being able to know that, like, a person that I've never even heard of or thought about up until starting the research for this project is connected to me in some form and way is just unreal to think about.
So what did you get out of the experience? How was it rewarding for you to do this research and then ultimately give a eulogy at the cemetery in Normandy?
Well, I think you just said it, going like being at the cemetery and giving the eulogy to somebody who didn't really have the opportunity to live their full life. Like, I know from talking to Dan, John's little brother, he aspired to be a painter and wanted to paint in life and in England. And he wanted to have all these opportunities that he just didn't get because he served his country. And being able to be at the Wall of the Missing and giving his eulogy and making it personal to him as well as to me, it put all the research and all the struggles that we went through and like all the like brain racking moments of finding information, of not finding information in the archives, of meeting with Miss Ranner, all of, like it put all of that behind me up to this one point, and it made everything worth it.
For people who've never been to that cemetery, how would you describe it? What is it like going to the Normandy Cemetery? Because it's obviously a beautiful place, but
right.
What is it like going there?
Going there, it really does put the death toll for the Normandy campaign into perspective, because you hear thousands of people died. They all served doing what they loved, was protecting their freedoms for their country. Whenever you're able to be there and put a name to every single one of them, and to find out that they all have stories that are just unknown because they all lived really short lives, it was kind of heartbreaking to be there knowing that they had so many lives lost and so many stories and families were affected by it. It wasn't just the thousands of grave sites that were there. It was the individual behind or underneath the tombstone. It was the family that was affected by it. It was the jobs that they couldn't fulfill. It was all of that all in one.
Obviously, people who get involved in a program like this, they like World War II. They want to learn about it. but putting an individual story behind it, I think, makes it more real. Is that how you felt about it, having this story? Did it make like the whole big event zoom in and become a little bit more of an actual real story?
Absolutely, because I already had the World War II interest, as did everybody else in this program. Like, we are World War II nerds going to this program. But whenever you're able to put the individual perspective behind it, it makes it more meaningful, not only because you're going to France and DC learning about what you're interested in, but you're also figuring out what happened to another person's life that you become connected to.
Yeah. And for John, I mean, he goes into this operation. He's in the airborne unit. So he's loading up on a plane, expecting to land in Normandy, France. And that never happens,
right?
Because obviously his plane explodes midair and then crashes. But for just anyone getting into this, seeing these sites, I think, is just an very important thing. Like, yes, going there and seeing it just shows you a lot. And that brings up, I mean, we saw a lot of stuff in France, both British, Canadian, American, obviously all French because it's in France.
Right. But
what sites to you, if you could pick a couple, were the ones that really stood out to you and resonated with you in Europe?
Well, before I go on to do any of that, I just want to say, like, during the welcoming dinner that we went to, they played a video of Albert H. Small himself saying every single teenager needs to go to France and needs to learn about what happened on D-Day. And after this trip and learning what I learned, it is 100% true. Like, he is not lying when he says every teenager, every American should go to Normandy and should see the sites that they fought over. Some of the sites that I thought were really amazing to see was the Church of St. Colm in St. Damien. And so what that was a church that had a mortar shell go through the roof. And instead of blowing up when it hit the ground, it was a dud and it cracked the floor tile. And whenever we were there, we were able to see it. And also there were airborne troops and two medics were there setting up an international, pretty much, a medic hospital where they would take soldiers from either side and help them to be better.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite places to visit. And when we do a trip through the class in April, we always go there because you get those two soldiers. That's Robert Wright and Ken Moore. And these guys have next to no training, and they're going to treat something like 88 people over the course of 3 days, including some French citizens, some German soldiers, and some American soldiers. And so in the middle of this horrible death and chaos, there's this story of kind of hope and humanity, which I think is really neat. And then you get the shell going through the church and not exploding. And so there's some like divine intervention there that kind of makes you think. So I think it's a really cool story. Where else did you like?
Another one that everyone knows about is Pointe du Hoc. And it wasn't so much knowing what happened there that makes it interesting for me. It's all of the craters in the ground that haven't filled in because of the USS Texas just shelling it relentlessly. And when you're there, you're able to see these massive divots that where the shells hit. It's just unreal to look at.
And then at Pointe du Hoc, being able to see where they climb up. As you see that, and it's like this 100-foot cliffside, And we learned that it's kind of falling into the ocean now. So it gives you a sense of that sacrifice, which I think is really cool. It's just a really good sight and great view, obviously, of the ocean and to kind of see that perspective. So
my next one is the – you might have to help me with this one – a Bay des Ardennes. Mm-hmm. So right there, it was a little village town square where a bunch of Nazis were posted up. And they held camp there. And I believe it was 21 Canadian soldiers also landed there during D-Day.
Well, yeah, they're captured. It's the Abbey, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so they're captured and brought to the Abbey. And this is a site that's really powerful because when we did the briefing, we did part of it outside in the courtyard of the Abbey, but then we went into the back. And as you said, they line up these Canadian POWs and they shoot them one by one.
Right.
And then on the wall,
there's the pictures of each one. So it's really powerful and it tells like unspeakable message. Mm-hmm. Like you have to be there to like feel it. But the speech that Akil gave there,
he did a great job.
It was fantastic, and it really did capture what should have been said there.
Yeah, and I thought Akil did a great job when he did his briefing there, and that's a very powerful one. And every time I've been there, people get a little emotional because it is one of those sites that's just so very intense because this horrible thing happened there. Do you have another one you want to end us off on before we wrap this all up?
So, yeah, the last one I want to talk about is the German cemetery. So whenever we were there, Dr. Long made sure to point out the color of the tombstones. And whenever you think of a graveyard for soldiers, since we're in America, we all have a uniform white to signify that they served their country well and they've done their job successfully. But whenever we're there in the German cemetery, there were no white graves. There was all black stone, and each one was on the ground instead of being erected up. So it kind of gave this feeling of shame where they didn't serve their country enough. And like it was really interesting to be there, knowing like the vast difference of how we treat our soldiers whenever they pass compared to how the Nazis did. And it was really just a weird experience being there.
Yeah, and for anyone who's never seen pictures of that Lacombe, it's just this surreal place. And like Matthew said, the stones are dark. It's not like celebratory. The American cemetery is very solemn and cemetery. This one's just solemn. There's not as much, there's not really flowers, not that many flowers.
Not at all.
Overall. I mean, family members can leave it. And there's a big thing in the middle where they have like a very like Holy Roman Emperor type setup.
It was a mass grave pile.
Yeah, but it's a mass grave. And, right. And they have people who are buried together because they couldn't disseminate bodies and stuff like that. It's a very bizarre place, but it's one that gives you perspective. And one that also shows you that after the war, no matter what country it was, they still make a place for the dead. They still honor the dead, and that's their right on that.
Yeah.
So, Matthew, I'm going to give you an opportunity to kind of just say, you know, what you got out of this experience and why you think traveling here, which you already kind of said, why do you think it's important for people to do that? And obviously researching stories of soldiers.
So what I got out of it, it wasn't just the like deep education on the topics. It was more or less being able to tell the story of John. And that's what affected me the most, or what stuck with me the most, was being able to research John and figure out his story for 6 months. And then it all culminated into one day. And it was, I believe it was a 10-minute eulogy that I gave, that everything that we did, all the hard readings that we went through, all the Zoom meetings, all the traveling, our flight getting delayed going to France, none of that really meant anything after or leading or during my eulogy. And it was one of the most life-changing experiences that I had, I would say, because being able to figure out what a person did and what they wanted to do, but what they couldn't, it is something that changes your look on life as a whole.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing your experiences, Matthew. And this is Tigers by the Fire, and we'll see you later.